is a continuation of the July 26, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 787 for property ID 127502140. The property is owned by Susith Kure and Denali Kure. Board members present by video conference are John Rose, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant. So just a brief recap of what was submitted for that one. Looks like we've got five comparable sales. I'll just briefly read those in. First is parcel 177235114, sold for $475 in April of 21. Property 177235088, sold for $475 in April of 21. Parcel 125843036, sold for $475 in January 21. Parcel 177235130, sold for $439 in February of 21. And parcel 126042018, sold for $468 in April of 21. So I'll hand it to the board.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the July 26, 2023 hearings at the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 752 for property ID 96410000. The property is owned by Dan Courtney Elkins. Board members present by video conference are John Rhodes, John Marks, John Marks and Chairman Daniel Weaver at the moment. So there is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Karen Kirk, who is Dan's wife, Dan Courtney Elkins's wife, present over video chat for the appellant. So do go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony given in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like their decision.
Okay.
So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
I beg your pardon? Sorry.
Go ahead. You've got the floor.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I had some questions. I followed the guidelines in the letter to try and find similar properties of the same age and, same square footage and all of those things. I couldn't find anything that was really similar in the last 3 years that supported that sale value. Everything that I found had undergone extensive remodeling or the other way around. So I had a really hard time finding where this value could come from. And I wasn't sure if that's, how that determination, if it's just a percentage that comes up or if there is any other things that have been done. If there's been no improvements in the property over the past decade, that it's been owned by Dan Elkins, and so I'm not sure how to do those comparables for that, how that value has increased when there's been no improvements.
There is a tool on the internet in the GIS system. Are you familiar with the GIS system?
A little bit.
Yeah, there's a tool on there that actually pulls up comparable properties. Can you demonstrate that, Michelle?
Here, I'll actually back out of here real quick. So this is... This is the county homepage. To get here under Find It Fast, there's the Property Information Center, and that's where this is. So this is your property looked up on there. And so what Dan's directing to is this tab here, the sales search.
Okay.
And you do want to vet these sales to make sure they're valid market sales. The best way to find them is to search specifically by your appeal year. So for this one, it'd be 22. And then you hit submit query. And so like this gave 73 sales. You can do a little fiddling with this here to pare it down. But basically, you'd want to use this to look for sales. And it does get their, like, their sale date and sale amount. And you can hop back to their properties from here.
Some of those addresses look familiar to me. But a lot of those all had improvements, like significant improvements. You know, kitchen remodels and updated plumbing and bathrooms and those type of things. And that's not anything that I could relate to this property.
Well, you have to take this list and pick out the properties that are most closely match the characteristics of your property in terms of, you know, square footage and bedrooms and things like that. And then if it does say it's been remodeled, then you make that a note in the notes to that piece of property so that when you're doing that valuation, you can say, look, it's got a remodel in there. I don't know what that's worth, but you know, it's something that we don't have. And so you get the best and closest thing you can say, and then you make some judgments as to how much that affects the value of the property.
Okay.
And that's what you have to do to get to that. I mean, you have to get close. You're never going to find anything that's exactly the same as your property. So you got to get as close as you can and then make commentary as to why that property is higher or lower than yours should be.
Okay. Yeah, I was doing this all a really hard way, trying to find it, doing it the other way around, looking for other sales data from, you know, real estate agent sales data. I didn't realize you guys had this tool available for me.
Well, it's not us. It's the system that the assessor uses to look at property information.
Yeah.
All right, anything else?
I don't think so. It looks like I have a lot of work to do before next year.
Any questions, John?
No, I'm not sure. The second building that's on the property, is that like a garage? There's an apartment above it, or what's the...
No, there's an attached carport, and it has a little storage area inside. There's no electrical or plumbing or anything in that. It stores ladders, shovels,
okay,
those type of things. And then there is another little outbuilding that used to, has a little cinder block base. Again, no power, or plumbing, and the previous homeowner had put it there to store fishing poles.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good day.
Okay, you good with the recording?
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the July 26, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 797 for property ID 986-055-845. The property is owned by Eric Griffin and Jennifer Griffin. Board members present by video conference are John Rose, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do Eric Griffin present over video chat for the appellant. So go ahead, raise your right hand, and we'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So I'm going to turn it over to you in a minute, but I just want to make sure, clarify, you have two appraisals in here, one for as of 1/31/21 and one as of 10/11/21. First one is for $1,340,000 as of 1/31/21, and the other one is $1,425,000 as of October 11, 2021. Is that correct?
That is correct. And one, the January 21 was the appraisal done for the construction. It was a new construction home, so it was the appraisal done for the construction.
When was the construction finished?
It was finished in October, like right when that appraisal was done, like a week or so before that appraisal was done, in October 2021.
So the first one was on a prospective basis, that what if that was as if the construction was completed?
As if it was completed as it was scoped by the builder. It was required in order to secure the construction loan. So they had to complete the appraisal based on the architecture, the everything within the home, and then submit that in order to secure a construction loan.
And then the second appraisal was as it was completed, actually, at that point in time?
Correct.
Got it. Okay. Long as we understand that. So go ahead and tell us anything else you want to.
So we built the home throughout 2021, obviously a very high point in building costs and real estate in general, and secured that loan, completed the home, seemed to appreciate from the initial what we paid for the home in building costs of that $1,040,000 or $1,038,000, and just from market conditions through October 2021. At which time the construction was completed and appraised at $1,425,000. So what I've seen in the last, so then we had a assessment done by the assessor, which I think is the assessed value as of January, which is a couple months later, that came in at, and I'll look at my documentation here, at $1,657,000 was the appraised value for 2022, which was completed based on my understanding of values in the first part of 2022, which was only 2 or 3 months after the appraised value was completed in October of 2021 at $1,425,000. So what I've seen is...
Let me just go in here. This was as of 2022, and it was completed at that point in time. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct. It was completed in October of 21. So a couple months later, 2022 appraisal happened at $225,000 increase over the appraised value from October. So that amount of increase, while the home was built during what may still be a high building cost. I know we took on a lot of expense due to supply chain and things like that. Surprised to see that it came through appraised even higher than what it was. I'm sorry, it came through assessed higher than what it was appraised for a couple months later. And then significantly disproportionate to, so in the community that we built our home, a number of homes were built at the same exact time, were completed within a month or two of each other. Ours is on the smaller end, on a smaller lot in the neighborhood, and was appraised higher than every home in our neighborhood as far as tax. I'm sorry, assessed higher than every other home in our neighborhood as far as tax assessment. So between the appraisal value being off significantly from the assessment, as well as being assessed much higher than larger homes on larger lots with views and pools and things of that nature, it struck me that there was an error or something done in the calculation of our home in particular that didn't seem to align with the other homes or the market in general based on our appraisals that were completed.
It was all those gold faucets and things you put in.
Yeah. The colors.
Yeah, there you go. All right. I think I understand it. Any other questions from John or John?
No, I've looked over the appraisals and the data, and I'm fine with what we have to decide on it. So.
Yeah, I don't have any questions. Thanks.
I think we're all set.
Okay. Well, thank you all for your time. I appreciate you looking into it, and I'll look forward to your response.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good with it?
What was the hearing?
This is the July 26, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 727 for property ID 837-79062. The property is owned by Mary Catherine Lathe and Mattias Lathe. Board members present by video conference are John Rose, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Mattias Lathe present over video chat for the appellant. So go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
Me? Yes.
You swear and affirm the testimony you gave in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury.
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keeping in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, so my main argument is that we bought this property kind of almost in November of 2021, so basically 2 months before the assessment date. And yet the assessment was, I think, $140,000 more than our purchase price. So my argument is that over those 2 months that that we bought it at a fair market value, and so the assessment should be closer to that purchase price. I give some similar properties that were purchased around the same time, and my argument about why they're more something. I think I might have done the math a little bit wrong. Like, I think I should have been I think I might have been adding when I should have been subtracting things to try to show how those properties all come down to the same subject property. But that's basically my argument, that the purchase price, we should be closer to the purchase price, which is so close to the assessment date. So I'll just leave it at that.
Got it.
Good. Makes sense to me.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good with it. I see the recorded sale date and all, so that's fine.
I have no questions. Okay. Thank you for calling in. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay, thanks a bunch. I appreciate
you. Bye-bye. Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the July 26, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 766 for property ID 145094012. The property is owned by Michael J. Moran. Board members present by video conference are John Rose, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Michael J. Moran present over the phone for the appellant. I know we can't see you, but go ahead and raise your right hand and we'll get you sworn in.
Yes, I'm raising it now.
Thank you.
You swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, thank you. I know we don't have much time, so I'm just going to keep moving on this. So this subject property has got several issues that make the assessor's estimate way off. In other words, way too high. And you can see on the petition what I believe the correct value is more like. So there's three factors that devalue this property that make it very probably one of the worst properties in the whole county, I believe. Anyway, the subject property location is inferior. It's encroached by a large apartment complex with minimal setbacks. There's other buildings around here. This property feels very confined. There's no very little open area at all. The only open area is a little driveway behind it. The rest is completely encroached. Because of that, the subject property has a little daylight. There's no views at all. Certainly no curb appeal at all. There's no street frontage. And then another factor is the building is in very poor condition. The assessor does not seem to realize that. There's a lot of repairs that need to be done, and I'll get into that in a little bit. But definitely the cost to cures are definitely a big factor. Then the last factor would be the comparable worksheets or the comps, the comparables, and I'll get in that a little bit. But any one of those factors is important and significant, and good, you know. And I think the assessor doesn't see any one of those. But when you factor them all in, when you put them all together, all three of them, then the effect is profound, and it really does devalue the this subject. So, if we take a look at the, I believe you had in front of you the estimated cost of cure, is that correct? The list of 15 items? Okay, so I know we don't have much time, so I'm going to go through these real quickly. Stop me if you have questions. But that's a summary of the estimated cost of cure for this property, the subject. And as you can see, the costs are rounded. They vary from, you know, a couple hundred dollars to thousands of dollars. The lowest one there is just repairing and installing some fiberglass doors, and then they go up from there. Speaking about those doors, you'll see that there's some other issues that are on that list. There's some cracks, concrete cracks. There's some chipboard cracks, seams, nail pops. There's some other issues there with, for example, the entry door. There's a window, vinyl sliding window. It looks like those are all related. The problem most likely is the concrete cracks, the foundation cracks, that are compounding that, you know, some of the other cost to complete issues here. So, the three highest costs would be the, HVAC system at $15,000. There's a quote, a relatively new quote from a contractor there to replace that HVAC system, install a new high-efficiency HVAC system. There's also a photo there. I could send more photos, but they take a while, and they do take up a lot of room. But anyway, that's a representative photo. That system really needs to be replaced ASAP. There's another high cost to cure item is the roof. The old roof is basically the warranty is up. Its life is up. It's over 20 years old. There have been some shingles that have blown off that roof, and it probably should have been done actually a while ago. But anyway, there's a cost to complete, or excuse me, an estimate there of $13,000. you can see that that estimate came from a roofing contractor, so it's valid. And then the other one on there is there's a the other high value would be $13,000 is a main entrench porch and steps. That's an accident waiting to happen. It's a latent defect that porch becomes completely slippery. It's abnormal wear. It's deteriorating quickly. It needs to be replaced. If we look at those, excuse me, if we were to add up those top three, the highest repair items there, we'll see that they're roughly $40,000. Those three are roughly about half, roughly half of the total cost, cost to cure, which are estimated at the total of $75,000. If we were to subtract that $75,000 from the assessors, what the assessor thinks is a true and fair value of $320,000 roughly, we come up with about $245,000, which is lower than what the $260,000 that is more accurate, I believe. So ending that and moving on to the next factor, which is the any questions on that, by the way?
No.
Oh, hear me? Okay, so you can hear me okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, fine.
Okay, great. Just wanted to make sure. The next item would be the location. So the location of this the subject property is, well, quite frankly, it's horrendous. Surrounded by a large apartment complex, there's about 127 three-story rental units next to the subject property. The subject property is a zero lot line. It's has poor setbacks to begin with. Then when you throw in a apartment complex with three-story units, it definitely devalues the subject property. It blocks any kind of views. Previously, I sent some photos that you can take a look at of the before and after aerial photos of this subject property and the area around it. You can see at one point this subject property was in a pretty decent location, and now with the development of these apartments specifically, it's become deplorable. It really is. So there's no daylight. Those apartments and the other buildings around here block any kind of daylight in this subject. There's other negative impacts, such as loud noises. And I should say, actually, overly loud noises. Now, some noises, you know, in any location are going to, they're going to happen. They're normal, I would say. But these are abnormal loud noises. And that's because I believe this subject is so hemmed in. It's so walled in. The noises become amplified. They echo. So, for example, last night at 2 a.m., when a car alarm went off, it reverberates throughout the subject property. It's not normal at all. It's very loud. This morning, the apartment complex, the landscapers came in with lawn cutting machinery, and I kind of wish actually they were still here. They just left about 20 minutes ago because it's even windows closed. It's hard to actually have a conversation. There's alarms going off all the time. There's landscapers, heavy duty equipment. Pressure washing goes on next door. Garbage removal. Loud voices. There's always remodeling going on, it seems. And again, the Equifax makes it really bad. There's during the summer, especially if you crack a window, there's smells from barbecuing and all that, and it just it if a potential buyer was to come to the subject property to look at it when that was all going on, anybody in their right mind would leave. They wouldn't even bother to consider buying a place like this. So, that's the location. There's some photos there. Please take a look at those. I think those photos give you a rough idea as to what it, how big those apartments are around here and how they basically wall in the subject property. It wouldn't be so bad, I guess, if there was more of a buffer between the two, but with the zero lot line of the subject property and the fact that they put those apartments so close to the subject property makes it very bad. Here's an example. So there's when they put the apartments and they put in some landscaping, including a few trees. Well, those trees now are so close because there's, you know, no setbacks and very little room in between. There's one tree that's just about touching the subject property now. That's how close they are. There's only maybe 10, 15 feet from the subject property's fence to the nearest one of the nearest apartments. So changing now to the third factor, and that is comparables. By the way, are there any questions about that?
No, we need to move on a little faster. We're running out of time here.
Okay. Well, we still have 3 or 4 minutes left, so I'll make it real quick. There's a list of comparables there. There's 2 pages of those. And if you take a look, if we take a real quick look at the first one, sale number one, there's some pluses and minuses there, but I think that's pretty close to a pretty close comparison to the subject. It's the sale price back in 2021, I guess, was $284,000. It's adjusted at $293,000, almost $294,000. But that's, and that $293,000 is for a property that's a lot more valuable than this subject property in that it has an open patio. There's a large open lot behind it. It's not completely isolated, and I'm sure it's not as noisy as this. Can you hear in the background, by the way, the lawnmower or the, can you hear that?
No.
You hear that?
No.
Well, it probably doesn't carry through the phone like it does here, but it's pretty bad. So anyway, the comparables, again, I think they reflect the fact that this subject property here, it has been way overvalued by the assessor. The assessor does not realize those 3 factors that I just mentioned. And it seems to me it's the fair market value, the true and fair market value is more like the amount that I have, that we have on the petition. The subject property is definitely not worth $319,000 when those factors are and brought together. So I hope that you can see that there's some serious issues here that I've tried to bring to light. Are there any questions?
Nope, I have all the information.
No,
I think I've got it. Thank you.
Look at.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last part.
We have enough information.
Okay. Thank you for your time. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the July 26, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 735 for property ID 136-856-000. The property is owned by Robert L. Peterson and Diane C. Peterson, and it's under trustees. Board members present by video conference are John Rose, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Robert Peterson present over video chat for the appellant. So go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time. I don't think I have any questions on procedure, although this is my first time doing this. I think the most significant comment I can toss out first is that, wow, that's a pretty huge jump in assessed value between previous value to the 2022 valuation, nearly 30%. And I know there are increases in the housing market as Clark County becomes more desirable. But that's a really huge jump. It surprised us. So I came back with a petition that I hope you've got in front of you. Actually, a letter. I hope you have the letter on my letterhead, because that's really what I want to address. It may seem like our home is located in a really nice, pristine paradise, and it is. Close to that, but in general, it's a fairly challenging area in which to live. Most notably, an example is the wildfire danger. We had the Nakia Creek fire burn within 4,000 feet of us last year, or a year and a half ago. And as it turned out, we had to evacuate for 3 or 4 days. The big problem is somehow years ago when they allowed this development to be built, and it's a small development of 95 homes, each with 5-acre plots. They allowed this to be built with no fire hydrants and no plan whatsoever for any water. And to the point of, and I can actually add this, I have actually been working on putting in a water tank to provide water for the firefighters, and I'm being sued for doing that right now. And I also have the board of our homeowners association coming down on me for doing that. But they don't like the idea of somebody trying to provide an alternative source of water. I've been working with the county fire marshal and the fire chief locally, who both are absolutely in love with the project, but that hasn't stopped the lawsuit. It's in Clark County Superior Court. So this is a very difficult area in which to live. Added to that, and I have an exhibit further down in here. Actually, it's the first exhibit after the letter. East County Fire and Rescue is the name of our fire department. And they acknowledge that they have a limited number of water tankers and trucks that can carry water. They're pretty much dependent on alternate sources, mutual assistance deals that they have. And the net of that is that here's a fire that was just a few weeks ago on May 30th that is very near us. It was actually in the next neighborhood right down the hill from us that actually adjoins my property called the Ireland neighborhood. And there are no hydrants in that neighborhood either. And the East County Fire and Rescue came out and basically said, because of water supply challenges, they had to go into defensive firefighting mode. I actually went in and talked with the chief about that just so I could understand what defensive firefighting meant. And what it is that the structure is gone and that you can only really spend whatever limited water supplies you have on being able to keep the fire from spreading to adjacent properties and adjacent vegetation. So that's a pretty serious issue. That, in my mind, is a currently incurable problem with this property. Added to that is that Washington State has a ratings bureau that provides information to all the insurance companies. It basically tells the insurance companies what their risks are when they're doing an analysis of what kind of rates to charge. And our neighborhood has a protection class of 9. Nine is probably the highest number in Clark County. The 10 is no fire service at all. If you're out in the absolute middle of nowhere and there's no fire agency connected to your property, that causes our insurance to be extraordinarily crazy high, and that there's no immediate cure for that, other than maybe if I can get the water tank bought off, people will give me some kind of reduced rating. There are two things that affect the rating: the distance to a fire hydrant of greater than 1,000 feet, and the distance to the fire station of roughly currently 8 miles. Anything over about 3 miles is also what qualifies us for that 9.0. So that's a real serious issue. It affects the value of the property. A lot of people who buy property here find out after the fact that this is something that's going to really affect their use and enjoyment. Okay, so that's all I have on fire risk. Are there any questions at this point?
Are you on public water service?
No.
So you have a well?
I have a well, and it doesn't have any flow anywhere near what would be needed to fight a fire.
Right, I understand. And all of the homes in your neighborhood then have a well?
Yes, they do.
Okay. The reason why people are fighting the water tank, the water supply?
They consider it, and it's not a valid reason, but they consider it a view nuisance, even though I've planted 14-foot arborvitae trees around it, and it's also surrounded by existing alder trees, which are not evergreen, which is why I planted the arborvitae trees. People are fighting it. It's in Judge Sheldrick's court right now. They're fighting it because they consider it a nuisance. And that's something that my own board, which I spent 3 years on, the homeowners board, is also backing. They consider it a nuisance. So it's a really, really unreasonable situation. I trust that over time, even though I'm spending a lot of money on legal fees, I trust that we'll prevail. But it's unbelievable right now. Fortunately, I have the county chief building officer, the county fire marshal, and our fire chief for the ECFU or ECFR on my side. But they can't necessarily tell the court how to rule on this. So it's an issue.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Go ahead. Anything else?
Okay. Second issue is, and this is, I basically got this out of the guidance in one of the handouts you gave me. This property, even though it's 5 acres, it's tightly controlled by Clark County on what I can do with it. And I had a representative from the Clark County Community Development come out here producing a map that I hope you have.
Yes, we do.
And what it basically says is, here's my property outlined in the blue area, and there are tiny areas that I can use and develop, and there are huge areas that I can't. And actually, even to the far right, the growth is so thick in that area marked no on the center of this. The far right is so heavily overgrown, I can't really use much of that either. It's very steep at that point. So what I'm suggesting, it's basically blocked off as a permanently controlled wetland habitat riparian zone. And that no means there's nothing I can do with the property. And I estimate I haven't had any fancy tools to be able to measure this, but it looks pretty much like we're looking at about half of the actual property, 2.5 acres, I can't do anything with. And to the extreme of this, a previous homeowner, two homeowners back on this of our property, actually, if you look over in the area on the left where the question mark is, they they basically clear-cut this whole area, including the question mark area, to build a horse pasture and a horse barn, and they were prosecuted and convicted for violating this this habitat. It has to stay pristine. It has to stay untouched. And again, I had Ariel Whitaker, the county biologist, come out here and make this survey and tell me what I could do and what I couldn't do. So it's a pretty serious challenge to the full utilization of the property. So my question is, if the county says you can only use half of your property, then is it rational or fair that I should be taxed for 100% of the property? So that's my question to you. On to item number three. And this is no surprise to anybody. Houses in this neighborhood sell very, very slowly. The house, when we purchased it, was on the market for a year and a half here. And we purchased it for quite a bit lower price than they were asking for because there's not a lot of activity. People don't even know this area exists. It's kind of remote. The only access we have really is from about a two-mile-long gravel road called L1000. So it's not well-traveled, except by sometimes some log trucks or trucks on the way to the prison up the hill. So I can't speak to the interest rate trends other than saying that they continue to go up. The word is it's going to go up again. All I could provide really was, without, you know, just pulling this out of my head, was the statement from U.S. Bank that, yeah, interest rates are going up and it's affecting home prices. And certainly I just have a hard time relating the trend to the 30% increase in property tax or property valuation. I think there was one home on the market that just finally, after about 3 or 4 months, finally sold in my neighborhood. They were asking for 1.1. They are in contract now for 949. That's 15% less than they were asking for at 1.1. We didn't include it in our comps primarily because it wasn't a sale. It was just simply a sale or a market price at that time, or what do they call it? A listing price. So I think in general, I would like to see a return to something that is closer to even the 1.3 million. I paid 1.2 million for this house, so I'm already at 1.374 for the previous valuation. In one of my messages, I actually counter-proposed another valuation, and I think you have that in my initial petition. I can pull that out if you need it.
I don't have that, but
okay, just a second. I have a lot of paper here.
Well, it must have been for a previous year.
No, it's it was part of the original online petition. This one that I signed when I originally set the dispute in process. But I think I basically suggested that I would go for, I mean, I would like to see it be closer to 1.38. I'm sorry. Again, too much paper here.
The one I have says 1.385.
Yeah, that's the one I've requested.
Yeah.
So that's all I can say. I have to also add, we're supposedly pretty smart people, but we didn't really know what to do with the comps worksheet. And maybe, you know, so we've left the bottom down here incomplete because we didn't know what really to say about it or how to do a final adjusted calculation. We did pick three of the closest comps that we could find that actually were fairly near term.
All Are these are not in your neighborhood?
Yes, they are. They're within. They're further down the hill, but they're within up to a couple of miles. Within a couple of miles, there aren't many homes that sell in my neighborhood. They don't turn very quick. I mean, when I say my neighborhood, I'm talking about the HOA group of 95 homes that is called the Summit at Autumn Hills. And there are just not a lot of good comps on those.
You have 5,400 square feet. Is that all usable space?
I would say it is, yes.
And that's on the main level?
There's what is called a daylight basement. So we consider some of that daylight basement usable space. And then the portion that is not usable is there's another I don't know what I'll call it. It's kind of a storage area.
Your chart says 5,400 on the main level and of living area and 1,600 in the basement. Is that 5,400 all on one level?
No. 5,400. Okay, now I understand it. The 5,400 is including the second and third levels. It all depends on the where I'm.
Living space is what you live in. I mean, and generally, that's anything above the basement. So that includes all the living space above the basement. Is that correct?
Yes, 5,400.
And then you've got $1,600 square feet of basement, and is that all finished, half finished, or
it's about half finished. The other half is barely stand up space that is for storage.
Got it. Okay. I don't have any more questions. John or John, do you have any questions?
No, I
don't have any questions on it. Thank you.
Okay. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Cool. Thanks very much. Appreciate your time, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Okay. Dan, you good with the recording?
Close the hearing, yeah.
This is a continuation of the July 26th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 739 for property ID 986038798. The property is owned by Kevin A. Rayburn and Lisa Morgenthaler. Board members present by video conference are John Rose, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Lisa Morgenthaler present over video chat for the appellant. So go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty of perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from the court as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. Okay. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Sure. I don't think I have any questions at the moment. I guess I'll just start with kind of what we've been looking at for the last few months to regards of this process. And so our petition was in response to the assessment that first came to us on the September 29th, which listed our house at a value of $737,253, which was way over what we've purchased. As well as what we considered it was really high for an assessment. So just so I'm sure you guys are aware from all the paperwork that I submitted, there were some additional assessments that came to us in late October That put it back down to about $690,000. We still consider that a little bit high. And then we received something, it looks like it might be for 2024, that puts it about $665,000. So we did try to find some properties that were also very similar in square footage as well as acreage that did show that there was less for an assessment of those independent properties. Apparently, I'm sorry, I just noticed that we got an email stating that it wasn't part of the, it missed the deadline. Thought I counted those days out correctly. So we just were thinking that there were a lot of things that we don't think are being considered with the assessment of the property, as there have been some adjustments to this as well. But certain factors like access and basically the development options of the land are limited. So we live about a half mile off of the road. It's a gravel road that is not maintained by the county. And then due to the location, again, since we are, the accessibility is extremely limited, not only by the road, but the fact that we're on a hill. And as we've been trying to look at what we can do with the property within the last year, there are certain restrictions that the hill is a huge consideration as far as like agricultural and land development, because, we're by creeks as well. So there's certain limitations as to what we can do with the property. Not very usable for the agricultural or, again, other kind of development for that. It also has no timber on it, so there wasn't anything that we could do for, like, a logging because it's already been logged prior to this being built. And then, again, some of the surrounding properties we were looking at, like, our house is drastically smaller than most of those to try and take into considerability of as well with that, since we can't really expand a huge amount due to those restrictions on that piece. We did have it assessed at the time of purchase, which was in June of 2022. That came back as an appraisal of $680,000. Our request is if there's a possibility to keep that at the $680,000 for the property value, we would say that that would be great. Just again, in some of those other kind of comparison pieces that we have been looking at with regards to our land and property options. That's what I have so far.
You indicate that you paid over the asking price. What was the asking price for?
It was listed for $600,000. We also were in a bidding war with a couple other people, is my understanding. We did end up paying $625,000. So we didn't pay what it was assessed, and that was something else. You know, I'm not sure how that's factored in as far as, like, you know, the property being worth only what somebody is able to or wanting to pay for it. I do think now that we've been living here for the last year and kind of looking at trying to look at what our options are, that may have been something as far as the expandability with this property is part of that consideration for potentially like others as far as what we were looking at. We knew there were some, but I guess we didn't really understand some of the limitations, like the extent of the limitations that we have. So the house has to basically stay pretty much the same. We really can't expand it due to, again, some of those, where it's located in regards to the creeks and some of those other pieces of fun paperwork.
Okay. So, I have no further questions.
I've got a quick one just to verify. You stated that you got another announcement from the assessor that actually put the value down to $690,328 or something like that?
Well, looking at it, it says six. Yes. So the original thing that came to us on September 29th said that our property was assessed at being $737,000, around that, right? $737,253. So then we got a readjustment late, two of them actually, two announcements. They came on October 25th and October 27th, and they stated that there was some sort of an error with, like, the assessment of the garage or something on that. I can try and pull that up if you like, but they reassessed it at, like, $690,328. So it dropped, which is great, because we were like, well, $737,000 way, which is, again, where the original petition was placed, but we were much happier, I guess, with the 690 because 737 we felt was just not accurate at all, for sure. However, with the purchase price that we paid was $625,000, At that time, they said they assessed it at 680, but it was listed for 600. So I'm not really sure how that property, how that all that assessment stuff works, to be honest with you, but it just seems like it's jumped quite a bit, especially from our purchase price. So we were just concerned in bringing that to the attention of the board and seeing what we can do to try and, again, make that a more accurate assessment, if you will.
Okay. And let me make sure, you bought this on June of 22, is that correct? June 8th?
Yes, June 8th.
22. So it's 6 months after the assessment date. Okay. I don't have any further questions.
I don't have any other questions.
No, I don't either.
Hey, you'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay.
Great.
Is that all I do?
That's it.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the July 26, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15-minute schedule for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 743 for property ID 226-726-000. The property is owned by Derek Starling and Julie Starling. Board members present by video conference are John Rose, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do Julie Starling present over video chat for the appellant. So go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. So let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision.
Okay.
Unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
I submitted the information with the comparable property sales worksheet, and I kind of just went through, and my husband normally takes care of all of this, so I'm filling in for him. He's not available. Basically, at the time of the market, our home was, the market was dropping, I guess, when our home was assessed, and we just felt like that the assessment was out of the blue. It rose over 200 and whatever percent. It almost not quite tripled our taxes for the year. And so we just kind of wanted to reevaluate and present some options of other homes in the area that had sold. And the paperwork that I submitted misunderstood some of the instructions, but I provided about 4 or 5 examples of other homes in our area that had sold. And I got the dates a little not in the zone, I think, that you asked for. So, but I just, the comparable houses, the average, in the area, in Battleground was, $339,000 on the paperwork that was submitted to you. I submitted some additional information, but, with the houses that were sold in 2022, the average for the sale prices was $555,000. And I have that information if you're interested or would like to know those properties. I'm not sure what else you need to know. I just, the information that was there, the addresses, do you want me to go over that?
We have a sheet with some comparable properties on it, so
right. It just Like I said, that's my husband's territory, so I don't usually do this kind of thing. So just like I went through and I, you know, provided the market value as of what your, the records on the GIS website. And then I compared them, you know, averaged them out. And the total for the sales of those five houses was $551,000. $551,700. And I'm not sure what else I needed to present to you outside of the information. Just when we were looking at the different reputable sources for the value of our home, it just seemed extremely, 682 was extremely high compared to what we were expecting. And based on our previous notice of values that we had received for the previous year since we purchased the house. So it jumped pretty significantly that we were unexpecting it to be that high. Sorry, I'm turning my phone off.
All right. I think I have enough information.
I don't have any questions on it.
Okay.
No, I don't have any further questions.
All right, you'll hear from us within 30 days.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the July 26, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 767 for property ID 198-941-000. The property is owned by Kenneth A. Swift and Linda E. Swift. Board members present by video conference are John Rose, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present at the assessor's office, but we do have Linda Swift present over the phone for the appellant. So if you could please raise your right hand and we'll get you sworn in.
Okay.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision.
Okay.
If you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
All right. Well, the purpose of this is that we would like to ask the board to please reconsider the most recent notice of value on our property of a $1,067,165. We believe that our estimate of the true and fair value of the land is $431,267. We come to this conclusion and bring forth the evidence that is contained in my June 23rd email to you. Michelle, would it be possible for you to pull up attachments?
The board does have a copy of everything you submitted if it was timely. Is there something specific you'd like me to bring up?
Yes, I'll go over that. Okay, so the reason being, let's see here, in the petition it asks for specific reasons why we believe the assessor's value does not reflect the true and fair market value. We have two reasons. Number one, we've been advised by two broker realtors from Keller Williams and John L. Scott regarding our inability to develop 0.5 acres of the northern property due to its limited width, which measures approximately 43 feet wide from the northeast property line before it abuts the ingress egress. And so if the board could please refer to the attachment titled Parcel 198-941-000 map, and refer to the flagpole-shaped northern part of our property.
Yep.
Do you see that flagpole shape there?
Yes.
Okay. All right. The other reason is that we provided demonstrated comparable sales of the land. So if you could please refer to the attachment titled Raw Land Comparable Sales, page 1 of 2. So yes. We utilize. Oh, excuse me?
Got it.
Okay. All right. So we utilized raw land sales comparables because the assessor has placed a zero value on our mobile home. However, we do believe our mobile home is worth at least $3,000. So in the comparable sales, I factored, I'm not very knowledgeable about, how would you say, adjusting this type of information. So at minimum, I factored in 1% per month inflation for each comparable sales. Because, for a starting point. And so I was going to ask the board if they could help me finish adjusting, because the three properties that I have listed as comparables are larger than ours, slightly.
Yeah, we got it. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So in the raw land comparables, these are over 50% lower than those provided respectfully by the assessor's office, and they fall well below the 2022 valuation of our property. And let's see here. So going into the highest and best use of the property, well, we have future plans in the immediate future. We've been working hard to, you probably see that we've had contiguous deaths in our family, five of them. And so we are moving ahead slowly but surely. And we would like to develop a nonprofit organization out here that will embrace the educational communities in Southwest Washington and Oregon. And we're going to utilize the property's peculiarly adapted small forest, wildlife and ecosystem for environmental studies and projects involving kindergarten through 12 and university level students. We are also considering agricultural projects on the land in the future because the land would be certified organic. Would you like to ask me any other questions?
I don't have any questions.
Okay.
No.
My son and my daughter are here also on the call, Lauren Hello. Swift and Chloe Swift.
Hello.
Hello.
Do you guys have anything that you would like to add to this?
Yeah. I'd just like to
just
add
real quick, if things. if they're going to speak, we'll need to have them swear in.
Oh, sure.
Sure.
So who's on the call?
This right now is Lauren Swift.
And I'm Chloe Swift.
Okay.
We're the children of Linda Swift.
Okay, so I know we can't see you, but both of you go ahead and raise your right hands. We'll get you sworn in.
Okay.
You swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. So what I just wanted to share, too, is to make it very clear, with our sales provided to you, we provided three to satisfy the board's request, as that's what they stated they preferred from the office. But we found overwhelming amounts of properties that were below 50% lower than what was provided by the assessor. At least a dozen. And so we reduced this to share this in a simplified fashion, but we're able to provide significantly more. And that's what our realtors and real estate attorney advised us on.
Okay.
So
And then my sister here has one other thing to say. Thank you.
What I would like to add as is, according to the highest and best use of the land, we feel that there is great potential for expanding a nonprofit business out here, and that the amount of money that it's possible to make doing a business out here would surpass what the current value of our land is if it were sold.
Okay.
Right, well, let's see here. So I guess to finish up here, in terms of the present nonprofit that we're looking at, we would like to cultivate and propagate more native plant species to restore ecosystems, attract wildlife, and support pollinators. Our land perpetually recedes itself, and so it is abundant in reproducing. How would I say this? Well, I'll go into that in just a second. Yes, we'd like to be able to go ahead and continue on with the plants that exist out here and then work with students in terms of teaching them about the different native plants and their effects on the ecosystem, especially in the urban landscape that's changing. Let's see here.
Do you currently have an application in for converting that to ag land?
We'd like to. We've really explored a lot, but for some reason we think that we have to have a minimum size acreage, and we're 3.96. I guess you could ag say we're definitely in.
Ag land ag land designation requires a minimum of 10 acres.
Yes, we're 3.96 acres, and so we have been.
You wouldn't qualify for an ag land designation.
No, and we don't qualify for forest either. I don't believe. Well, I'm not sure. Excuse me. It's a learning process for us. We're definitely on it, and we're definitely exploring options. But we've been. We're still in a grieving process from all of the deaths in the family and dealing with all of those matters, and it's really slowed us back. But we're very encouraged for the future, and the community really appreciates the land as it is. Our neighbors have bought their homes because of the beauty of it, and they're grateful that it is the way that it is, and it could be a nonprofit agricultural. So, well, to share with you, these are our plans, and I hope that I've shared enough here.
Okay, we have enough information. Thank you.
Okay. Oh,
thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the July 26, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 794 for property ID 988-22096. The property is owned by Janine L. Thomason. Board members present by video conference are John Rose, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Janine Thomason present over video chat for the appellant. So go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
No, I guess just during my appeal, my questions would come up. I had checked the box. Can I talk? Is it okay?
Yeah, sure. Okay. You got the floor.
Thank you. I had checked the box that asked for the information the assessor used to value the property, but I don't believe I received any information. I didn't get anything via email or in the snail mail.
Yeah, they contend that the tools on the GIS system are sufficient to meet his obligation to provide information.
Oh.
Unfortunately. <Okay. laughs> And
that's kind of what the whole thing is based on, right? The assessor's assessed value of the home. But anyway, yeah, I was just wanted to see what he was basing his decision on, but I guess that's not something I can get. My whole case, I guess, is based on the fact that this is, I purchased this with my mom in 2003, and there's basically been no updates, you know, major updates. Maybe things had to be fixed here and there, but the property as a whole, if you look on the website, the county website right now, there's a picture of it. I don't know when that is from, but it's a lot nicer looking than it is now. Unfortunately, I hate to say that. You know, we bought it together and I was hoping that she would maintain it. It hasn't happened as I had hoped. So, and then she's elderly and she's kind of deteriorated the last couple of years. So it's now, you know, we put it in my name, quitclaimed it. And so, I'm going to have to address a lot of those issues, but I mean, it needs a new roof. I had a lot more information and supporting documentation, but unfortunately, with the holiday, I didn't count my 21 days correctly, so that wasn't allowed to be submitted. But I do have it for, you know, future use. But it's just it's leaking inside the garage, it's leaking inside the house, in the laundry room, the plumbing, the washing, you know, where the washer drains, has had constant problems where she has to pull out the hose and, you know, to get it to drain. It's just, the house is in disrepair, and I don't know, the original pictures that I sent, I think, showed the kitchen where there was some defacing of the cupboards, where she allowed my one of my relatives to live there with her for a while, and he had some addiction problems, so he kind of trashed the place. And so it needs a lot of work, and I realize that the county as a whole and the city especially, the property values have skyrocketed, but doesn't mean that every home's value has increased, you know, to go along with the market. The location of this particular house is, it's kind of a junky couple streets on Jordan Way and Hazeldale Way off of Hazeldale Avenue. There's some rougher areas there. I'm sure that you just go a few streets towards Overlook Drive and the homes are much nicer and they're selling for much more. Unfortunately, when I went to do my research, there were no homes directly on that street or the, you know, the close streets to it that are kind of comparable. The homes are around the same size, you know, 900 square feet or less. But the homes that had sold in the area were, you know, much more square footage, or they had three bedrooms and one bath, or they were on Overlook Drive, or, you know, there was a lot more value to them than there are, than there is to this house. And it just keeps going up. It's crazy, you know. In 2021, it went up. And I'm not talking about just the difference between, because my mother had a senior exemption. It's just the assessed value in the last few years. You know, I just got the recent one, which I know this hearing isn't about, but you know, it's up to almost $400,000, which is crazy. If somebody offered me that, you know, I'd be kicking my mom out in the street. Okay, I'll take it. But
let me. She had a senior exemption before, and she lost it. Why was that?
I think it's because it went. It's all in my name now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And she just wasn't able to take care of it financially or physically and isn't. I mean, she tries, and it needs a lot of work. So we need to address a lot of things, which I haven't had time to do yet. But, you know, just overall, the home, the hardwood floors are trashed. It's got old pressed plywood walls or old paneling. I think I sent some pictures of that. And
let me just interrupt here for a second. And we understand all the things that you talk about there and understand that the value is probably not there. But we can't do anything unless you bring us some bid or some information to prove the value or the cost that it's going to take to cure those things. You have no cost information and no bids or anything except here. We understand there is a diminution of the property as a result of all these things, but without some quantitative information to do that, we can't make an adjustment.
I see. Okay. Yeah, and those figures and stuff was in the information that I submitted later, but unfortunately didn't make the cutoff. Well, and I do have,
Let me just tell you that you can, after you get a letter from us, you can appeal to the state and provide all of that information and ask for the price that you think it's worth based on that information, and appeal to the state. And it's just like this. They will give you a lot of instructions back and forth, but it's just like this. It's on the telephone, and so you don't have to appear or anything, but it's another hearing just like this, and you can present all new information and go forward. So you have a better chance of getting something out of it if you were to do that.
If I have all that information, yeah. So, like, I have a roof bid for, I guess, $12,000 or something like that. Do I need to have three bids or just some documentation on each thing?
One documentation on each thing that needs to be repaired, and then take that information and deduct it from what the assessed value is and say that's what you think the value of the property is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And because now the new valuations or declaration forms have come out for 2020, the next tax
year. Yeah, you've got that. And so you should apply all over again for that one. You have to, each year it stands on its own, so you have to do it for each year. But go ahead and file with the state on this year and then file with us on that next one. You have until, what is it, August? Something really?
Yeah, I think I just got my valuation a week ago or two, so I have 60 days, but I will get on it because I'm super busy, and then things just go, you know, they get put right down on the list.
Yeah, you have to file on each one, and if you get that information in with that one, we may be able to do something with that year, but the year we're talking about now, you have to file with the state to try to get something from there.
Okay, so the pictures and information I sent originally for this hearing, that is not sufficient to give any sort of consideration on the decision for today?
No. That accompanied with the bids would be good, but we don't have any bids or any quantitative information.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what about the fact that we don't have any information from the assessor's office? I mean, how did they just base this valuation?
On the GIS system, there's a place where you can get comparable properties, and that's their reason for saying that those are the properties that they use in valuing all properties. And so if you go in there and put the parameters in for your house, and it'll pull up comparable properties for you. And that's what they say meets their obligation to present information.
Right. Because there really isn't, not in that neighborhood, there really isn't comparable properties. I did find other comparable properties in surrounding neighborhoods, but that was with the other information. So I will save that for the appeal that is for this new year, I guess.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Just watch Michelle. Deadline really carefully on that, because we have to be really strict with the 60 days. But the earlier you file, the better your place in line for hearing anyway. So as soon as you can. And if you're able to do it on a computer, we do have a portal that walks you through it, kind of like TurboTax. So hopefully that makes it a little easier to get through it.
I'm so challenged technically.
You don't have to do the portal if you don't want to. You're welcome to do the
pitch. I'm lucky I got on here, but I will try it. And I appreciate your help, Michelle. You've been very helpful through the process.
Yeah. And definitely me or Allison if you got any questions.
Okay. Right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Dan, you good with the recording?
Yeah, close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the July 26, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 746 for property ID 114232252. The property is owned by Soterios Cementis. Board members present by video conference are John Rose, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present at the assessor's office, but we do have Soterios Cementis present over video chat for the appellant. So go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
I understand the procedure. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead.
All right. Basically, as I've stated in my letter, the house is in a state of reconstruction. It's been that way for a while, so the interior is basically missing the insulation, the drywall, things like that. It started off a project that I was doing myself, and because of the pandemic and some medical issues, it's still, you know, as of today, to include January of 22, still in that state. So it's in an unsaleable condition. So the I want the assessor's value to reflect the actual value of the house as it is, as it was in January, which is in need of renovation, repair, and stripped down to the studs.
So no one's living in the house now?
No, no one is living in the house.
So you're there now, the back, your background is the interior of the house?
Yes, it is, actually. Okay. The, you know, the studs and things like that just happens to be the electricity is on. The heaters, there's some little, I come by and I do work in the house. So I was actually working in the house today.
Okay.
I really got, you know, with the pandemic, and I had planned to do more, and everything got very expensive, the lumber and all the subcontractors during the pandemic. So I kind of put the project on hold because it was just too expensive to do last year. And my intent is to get some subcontractors and do the work. That's where I am now. But, you know, it's still a work in progress.
Yeah.
Do you have any estimates of what it's going to cost to get this back in shape?
I do not have any estimates with me or any current estimates. Any contractors that I had gotten is in the past. And so, no, I do not have any current estimates.
How did you come up with the value?
How did I come up with the value? Based upon previous estimates that I had to include drywall and windows and HVAC and the work that was going to be done, so basically, I've got the what I would consider the resale value of the house on the market, subtracting what I feel the what it would cost to bring it up to a saleable condition.
Did you appeal this last year?
Yes, I did.
And I see last year's total assessment was $449,263.
Yes.
And you're asking for it to be less than that?
Yes.
Did we reduce the value last year?
Yes.
Okay. I don't have any further questions.
So...
How much work have you done since last year?
I've done some more demolition is what I have done. I've done not any more improvements, so now additional demolition.
That's why you justify a lower price than last year?
Yes.
Okay. I have no more questions.
No, I don't have any other questions.
Okay. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Thank you. I understand. Everyone have a good day. Thank you for your time.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the July 26, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15-minute schedule for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 745 for property ID 132-844-000. The property is owned by Victor Gilko and Victoria Gilko. Board members present by video conference are John Marks and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present at the assessor's office, but we do have Victoria Gilko and Ruslan Kotsubchuk. Is that correct?
Yeah,
very close.
Okay. All right, so both of them are present over the phone. So both raise your right hand and we'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Yeah.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he does not like our decision.
Okay.
Do you need time to interpret that?
She understood.
Okay. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. So in the previous tax year, the home was assessed at $713,159. That was with a land valuation of $140,000 and a house or improvements valuation of $573,159. And in this current tax year, it was assessed at $1,091,000. $649, which is a very large increase of almost double. And speaking to our realtor in our area, the sales trend has increased by 5.5% year to year in Washougal. And by our using the previous year's valuation and adding the 5.5%, what we feel like would be a valid assessment value would be $752,383. And furthermore, we also have comparable properties that sold in the same price range that were asking that the new assessment value should be. The first one that we can take a look at is going to be what's better, property ID or address?
Property ID is fine.
Going to be a property ID 14202001. And that's not old.
Wait a minute, that's not one that's on your page, is it?
It's on the comparable property sales worksheet that we sent out.
I don't see that number on here.
Victoria, that they sent it out, but it wasn't within the 21 business days prior to the meeting. You guys received it 21 days is when she mailed it out, not business days.
Yeah, we can't accept that then.
Did you want to tell them more? Okay, well, that property and other properties that were comparable had sales prices of $770,000, another one $770,000, and the third one was $750,000, all similar lot sizes and house sizes. And then there's another one that sold two blocks away here about a month ago, July 14th, and that one sold for $690,000. Also, 1.25 acres home. So, just the million plus evaluation is a dramatically bigger increase than, you know, what is typical in the area year over year.
Is the basement in the home finished?
Yes. And I think that's reflected.
It's on the comp sheet that we have, a 1,470 square feet, and it doesn't say finished or unfinished. But it all is finished. Okay, no problem.
I believe that the Clark County GIS site does indicate that it is finished.
Got it. All right. Any questions, John?
No, I don't have any questions.
Okay, anything else?
If we're not allowed to submit those other properties, that's it. Just asking for a fair valuation increase that's typical in the area, not almost a double of, you know, year over year.
Okay, if you don't like our decision and you decide to appeal it, you can supply those other comparables with your appeal to the state.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Close the hearing.